of a catchy theme song there. Welcome to the second installment of the Mike Wilson Show, for lack of a better name, till we come up with something else. Today we have Brandy Wilson with the Marion County Historical Society in the studio, and we're going to be talking about some of the things that are going on at Heritage Hall, some of the upcoming events. So Brandy's an old, well, I won't say old, but a longtime friend of mine. Let's put it that way.
Yes.
So Brandy, glad to have you here.
Glad to be here. Thank you.
And I don't know what, I know some of the things you're going to talk about, but I don't know everything.
So, I know.
So let's get started.
Okay. Well, one of the things I wanted to kind of throw out there is we're currently closed. The museum's closed for the season, and we'll reopen March 2nd with our new exhibit. So right now we're doing a lot of prep work going into actually our 50th year. This is our 50th anniversary
this
year.
Half a century.
Yes, yes. So our theme this year is going to be 1969.
Ooh.
We're very excited because it seems like there's so many people that still remember 1969. So it's going to be more of a trip down memory lane when you come into the museum this year and kind of, you know, wax nostalgic. You get to see all the cool things and all that. Yes.
All that good stuff. Yes. Woodstock.
Definitely. And so we're really excited because we've really been working hard getting everything changed over. We've converted a lot of things, moved a lot of things. So just really changing up the place. We try to do that annually, but this is a big one for us since it is our 50th anniversary and kind of a time for us to celebrate and show what we've done over the last 50 years. So some of the things we're most excited about are just transforming. Our Victorian parlor has been changed into a 1969 rec room.
Oh, wow.
You're going to be very surprised. As someone who's been at the museum numerous times with us for different events, you're going to see a lot of change in that space. And then one of the other areas we're going to cover this year, of course, in our military exhibit is the Vietnam era.
Certainly.
That would have been
right
just fitting right in. And then we're going to look at some things going on within the community, whether it be just there was a lot of change happening that year and a lot of things going on just globally that impacted us as a community as well. So we'll be taking a look at some of those things, whether it be race relations or just, I guess, kind of the hippie movement and things of that nature going on.
Groovy.
And yes, groovy. And so we're excited. We pulled some things that are just these bright colors and flashy and getting to dress the characters and things. We've remembered we found a 1969 Sears and Roebuck catalog. So we were all just like standing around looking at it.
That's and, far out.
Yes, it was very... made me feel like I was young again. I was like, oh, I remember going to grandma's and looking cover to cover, and you'd plan your whole house and what your life would be like. And then some of the other things we want to look at are the different activities that kids were participating in, or even adults, from roller skating to ice skating at McKinley Lake, mm-hmm. to shooting the loop is our biggest one we're excited about this year. That was just something that was extremely happening back then, and everybody,
I think that would have gone right by Heritage Hall.
Yes.
I've never done it.
Yes,
so I think it did.
It did. I did shoot the loop as a young kid. I think our first trek around the loop was my mom in the station wagon showing us, hey, this is what we used to do, only we were in very cool muscle cars back then. And she took us around, and we thought we were just doing something great. And then later on, when we could drive ourselves, we drove in circles. That was when gas was cheap.
Yeah.
Now I'm kind of like, okay, that would be pricey.
Yes, it would. Yes.
But there are still folks that go up on, I've seen in the summers when the nights are really nice, you'll see a few of the old muscle cars out in the city parking lot. So that's pretty cool to see. But we're pretty excited for that. I went and to my dad, and he's got a lot of collectibles and things, so I was able to get some garage items and mechanics tools and things to use for our exhibit. So we were pretty excited about that, and it's just been really fun to put together because a lot of it's things that you know what they are, how they work and things of that nature. So we've had a lot of fun putting this season together. So we're pretty excited for March 2nd when we get to open to the public again and show that and share what we've done. But before then, one of the things we're planning on is a volunteer orientation. We, as a nonprofit, do rely solely on our volunteers. And each season, we try to get everybody together before the season starts. Anybody who's a current volunteer, anybody interested in being a volunteer. So on Saturday, February 23rd at 10 a.m. at Heritage Hall in the auditorium, we're going to host our volunteer orientation. And at that time, we kind of go through the museum. We talk to everyone. We kind of let them know what some of the volunteer opportunities are, because some people love to work in the gift shop. Others like to lead tours. Others like to come and help do other things throughout the year. So we kind of go over some of the things that we offer, volunteer opportunities that are there. And then we go ahead and take everyone around the museum and kind of give them a glimpse of what we've done through these couple months that were closed, and share with them the new exhibit and give them the opportunity, especially those who are our docents, to see what we've changed and kind of get a handout on information about what the current exhibit represents. Mm-hmm. So
what was the time on that? February 23rd?
February 23rd, which is a Saturday at 10 a.m.
Okay.
And we're hopeful that our weather is good by then.
Hopefully. We'll see.
Yes.
It's Ohio.
It is. So we could be 90 or we could be below 90.
Yeah, we could.
And then on Monday, February 25th, we host our museum cleanup day, and that's the Monday prior to our grand opening for the season.
Oh, okay.
So we like to have volunteers and come in, and we basically just spruce up the museum and make sure everything's tidy and ready to go for the next coming months, because we're going to be busy, and once we open, it's kind of hit the ground running.
Curry the horse.
Yes. Okay. Yes. So we like to just make sure everything's tidy. We have a great group of folks who come from Marka and clean with us on Mondays, and I get more compliments on our museum about how clean and tidy it is, and I'm like, we couldn't do it without them. Mm-hmm. And just the volunteers that we have that come and help, whether we're asking them to move something or help set up exhibits, do different events with us, from dinners with the presidents tonight at Heritage Hall, and just everything in between.
Yep.
So we're pretty fortunate. We have a great group, and everybody just likes to come and help us out. So
yeah, I've worked with your group a few times.
Yes.
And you do have a wonderful group of volunteers over there. And volunteers are what make the organization.
Yes, they are definitely our backbone. And it's great, because there's something for everyone. Because some people don't want to be a reenactor and maybe be in the spotlight, but they want to help with the event. So there's always something that we need, and always just trying to get people, find the right niche for them. We have a couple people that come and volunteer with our archive group, whether it be taking photographs of incoming items that we have for the collections. Mm-hmm. And getting them put away, or identifying photographs and making sure that we have information so we have a usable database, and getting names and places and things organized on our photos. So it's a good group of people. I'm pretty fortunate to have our volunteers. It's kind of like a big family, really.
It is.
You just call up someone and you're like, hey, can you do this, or can you even research for us? And that's been fantastic. So it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, and that your facility there, Heritage Hall,
yes,
is just a magnificent building.
Oh, it is. It really, it's a museum in itself, being the original post office here, built in 1910. And there's just such beautiful architecture, and it's just a really unique building. Has a lot of hidden secrets. If you come for a tour, we'll share some of those with you.
I want to see those.
And then it's just a beautiful space to showcase Marion County. And we're fortunate to have the space, and that everybody who kind of had the foresight to say, hey, let's look at Heritage, or well, the old post office at the time. Mm-hmm. Let's look at that building and see if that's something that we could actually acquire. And we just have a great space. I mean, it's wonderful to do displays and host events, and it's just right there in the heart of downtown even. So just because we are located in the city, though, we do represent the entire county. I think a lot of people, yes, because a lot of people, I think, maybe sometimes even wonder what the building is. I think sometimes they don't realize that it is a museum and what's there. And we have a lot of things that people have been fortunate to donate to us and have give us the ability to have a wonderful collection to just share and showcase Marion County and the history here. There's just so much.
I know you have a lot to talk about today, but I do have a question.
Okay,
you talked about
sure.
Donating yes. items. What is the process if somebody wants to donate an item? What items do you and don't you accept? Would you like to talk about that a little
sure,
bit?
Sure. One of the things that we don't really like to accept would be something that's a chemical.
Sure.
We had it one time, somebody donate an actual grenade from World War II that was
yes.
still live. So that caused a little bit of drama at the museum. I wasn't there yet, but our archivist tells us the story. And they had to come and actually detonate remove it from the building and take it out in the county and detonate it. So amazingly, it never exploded in its trip from overseas back to the United mm-hmm. States. Mm-hmm. During World War II and then in somebody's attic all those years. So that's something we don't accept would
yeah.
be live munition.
So
and
you
things.
Don't really want things
yes,
go
bad. That are gonna yes, okay. You don't want to really blow up the place you're trying to preserve.
That's true. Yeah. Good point.
So one of the things that I enjoy most is somebody will call and they'll say, hey, we have this or that and you probably won't want it. But it's the story. So if you have an item that was something that has significance and a story with it, that's what helps bring the exhibit to life.
Sure.
So really, I can't answer and say, no, I don't want this and have a specific list, or yes, I want this and have a specific list, because a lot of times it's the object that's tied to a story. You may look at it, you know, a drinking glass, and it's just a drinking glass.
Right.
But when you hear, that was hand-etched by my sister when she worked at Marion Glass, and it's been in the family.
Mm-hmm.
And then it has that story, and that was her first job, and she supported her family. And that's the type of thing that we want to know and hear about, are those stories. And I've had people come, you know, maybe their family moved out of state or out of town, and they're you know, people have passed away and they're, we came across this or that and we want to bring it back because we feel it belongs in Marion, and they'll stop in and they'll bring in these items and they may have this really great story. And as I'm having them fill out the paperwork to donate that item to us, they're telling me these stories and mm-hmm. thinking that it's not all that important. And I've had so many of them, I've stopped and I've said, these stories are what makes that object stand out.
Most certainly.
It is.
What's
it's
that
the
word? Prominent?
Yeah.
Prominence?
Yes.
Prominence.
It makes it personal and something that you remember and you're like, I want to share that because this was a great family memory or history behind something. And I've had people I've told, if you don't want to write all that out by hand, you can go home and here's my email address. You email the story to me. And they've done that and I've gotten pictures and other things to go along with the object that they've brought in to donate. So really, it's just, if you think you have something you would like us to preserve and have at the museum,
mm-hmm.
definitely give us a call and we'll talk to you and get you in and we'll take a look at what you have. And the biggest thing is just coming by with the item and
the story behind
yes,
it.
Yes, yes. And definitely something to share. Because we really like the things that are tied to Marion or have some tie back to Marion or the county, just because that's the history we are preserving. So it's really interesting the things you get. And then when you go to create your exhibits, those are the things that stand out a lot of times.
Certainly.
Or you can just do a search in our database and we're like, oh, we have these things. And
mm-hmm.
then you'd build an exhibit based around that. So we're pretty fortunate.
Yes.
And then I know one of the things you do with us is Night at Heritage Hall.
Mm-hmm.
And that is our kickoff event for the season. That will be this year, March 22nd and 23rd, which is a Friday and Saturday, from 7 to 9 p.m. And that is quite an exciting time because we dim the lights in the museum, and everybody coming in does get a flashlight, mm-hmm. and then you're able to tour the museum and meet interesting characters from the past that in some way are tied to Marion, whether it be a founding father, a president, or even just a storekeeper. Yes, we have Mike, who's our storekeeper. And then we have just a variety of characters that you can meet as you walk through. And then it's really interesting to see the kids with their flashlights and they're pressed against the cases reading and looking in at the exhibit. So we do have some surprises this year. We're going to have John Glenn.
Oh.
Because one of the things that happened in 1969 exactly. was using the crawler that was built here by Marion Power Shovel to transport.
What a tie-in.
I know. So we're going to, you know, celebrate that without our involvement in building the crawler here in Marion and transporting the rocket ships, we wouldn't have gotten to space.
I believe they still use that.
They do. They do.
For shuttles or something.
Yes, they do. And to think that that's still being utilized, and I even watched Mike Rowe do a Dirty Jobs episode, and he was cleaning and greasing the track on the crawler.
Oh, wow.
And just how huge it is. And to think that our involvement in the space program and how significant that was, because without the space program, we wouldn't have some of the technology we're using now. So we're pretty excited to share that this year. That'll be something we highlight and look at. And John Glenn's going to join us. So
that's
Night
great.
At Heritage Hall, he'll be one of our guests. He's a native Ohioan and ties to the space program that Marion helped with. I like to show our little slice in the big picture. So, Night at Heritage Hall again, that'll be March 22nd and 23rd. We'll have tickets going on sale, so if you get your tickets earlier, they do save you a bit. They'll be $7 for non-members and then $8 at the door.
Okay.
So, if you're a member, you get tickets for $4.50 at the door, $3.50 in advance.
Okay.
So there's a bit of a savings for members. So it does entice you to join if you would have not already done so.
Well, and this is something your predecessor used to use the word edutainment.
Yes, it is.
It's entertainment.
Yes.
But the kids and the adults are learning something
yes.
about our past as well.
It is. It's so much fun just for the fact that Night at Heritage Hall just brings so many people through the door. And you walk through the museum and it's just so full, and it's everybody's energized, and I hear the different stories because I'm kind of walking around making sure everything's still functioning and flowing, and to hear like the kids asking questions, and then the adults are just back there smiling just as big as the kids asking questions, and you really feel like you're meeting somebody from the past, because all of our reenactors do a fantastic job and know their characters and just bring them to life.
Right.
So, I mean, it's a perfect evening, two evenings actually, of entertainment. And it's a good way to kind of start. I know a lot of people are on spring break at that time. So we either bookend the beginning or the ending of the spring break season for a lot of kids and get a lot of families that come through. And it's a lot of fun.
And that's March 22nd and 23rd.
Yes.
7 to 9, both nights at
yes.
the Heritage Hall. And most people know where you're located, but why don't you...
Just in case, we're at 169 East Church Street. And that's here in Marion. We're on the corner of Church and State. We're a beautiful big big building. You can't miss us.
Yeah.
And there's parking behind the building. There's parking across the street at the bank.
Mm-hmm.
And then parking across the street, the church kind of lets us overflow there as well. So there's plenty of parking. It's not a problem to park. And the past couple years, we've been pretty fortunate and had decent weather. It was almost spring temperatures, that really warm a couple years ago, so that drew in a lot of crowd. So it's a lot of fun. It is. I think it's just so much fun. Like I said, every time we have people in the museum, just to have a crowd in like that just brings so much life to the museum itself. And it's just very entertaining, like you said, and educational all at the same time. And I don't even think that kids notice that they're getting an education. It's not like you're sitting in class and staring at a board. And
it's like life cereal. Yes. You don't tell them it's good for them.
Yes.
They like it.
They like it.
Except for Mikey's. We don't like it.
Yes.
For some strange reason.
I know. So that's kind of my favorite starting event, and just to bring the museum back and be able to share the work we've done, getting everything kind of opened up and ready to go. And then one of the big things we're doing right now as well is our membership drive. That started actually in November. We started, mm-hmm. you know, getting everybody to renew their membership and encouraging folks to become members. That is our biggest operating funds come from our membership drive. So we're also doing this year a corporate kind of giving campaign where we're asking for corporate sponsorships.
Reaching out to some businesses.
Yes, so trying to get more people in the community, I think, kind of aware of who we are, what we are, what we're doing. And we're just, there's so much that we do and try to give back in the community. One of my favorite programs as well is our Blast from the Past, which occurs in the summertime.
I've been to that. That's awesome. Program.
It is. And it was something that when I first started with the organization was more of a program that you tried to get people to sign up children. It's a summer program for kids. And at the time we used to do it, it was every Thursday in July. So it was four sessions, and we had a morning and afternoon session, tried to get kids to join. We had a limit of about 60 kids, and a lot of the people who had really been involved in it were kind of getting a little bit burnt out on doing the program, sure. And we weren't seeing a big attendance, and our education curator, Rebecca McKinney, she was like, we can't drop and lose this program. Mm-hmm. So I was like, well, what can we do? Let's come up with some ideas. So just through some brainstorming, it came about that we started working with the Marion City Schools Lunch Program. Mm-hmm. And so we actually extended our program to be, it runs now from June till usually the first week in August, about a week before school starts. And we go out to lunch sites where they're doing the lunch programs throughout the community.
Great idea. Yeah.
And that way we're able to reach kids that maybe weren't aware of what we were doing, mm-hmm. or may not have rides to come to different places where we were hosting the past sessions. So we're able to go out. I know you've been involved. You've went out in character and portrayed mm-hmm. Someone for us. We have other people that go out. We do hands-on activities. We have reached over 500 people doing this. So to go from 60 to 500 and being able to share that with the children in the community and take that kind of out as a roadshow has been phenomenal. And having, you know, members and their support helps continue programs like that. So we really hope that if you haven't thought about joining or being a corporate sponsor, that you do decide to take a look and you know, give us a call. We can tell you more about it. You can visit our website at www.marionhistory.com and learn more about becoming a member as well. So there's just a lot of opportunity to continue these great programs that we do.
Yeah, but partnering with the lunch program,
yes.
That was a big step.
Yes.
That's awesome.
It's huge. And we have so many kids in the community that maybe they get introduced to history when they're in elementary school, mm-hmm. and then not again till maybe high school if they're fortunate enough. So there's just really a broad range where they don't realize, you know, we do all these programs and we have all these activities at Heritage Hall. So it's kind of nice to get out there and spread the word a little bit and give them something fun to see, whether we're taking out some of the old fashioned toys and they get to see what kids would have done, or chores. We took out a bin on different chores that kids would have had early, you know, in early times. And the kids are just mesmerized that, oh, We have it pretty easy now. We have a dishwasher, yeah. So we're not we're not hand washing dishes or just the conveniences and things. So it's a lot of fun. We enjoy showing them the old phones. And I think recently I saw a video where some teenagers were trying to use a rotary phone and dial.
I saw that video.
And I laugh because we talk about, you know, you used to call somebody and if they hung up on you and you had to call them back, you
right.
had a lot of dialing to do.
And you didn't know who was calling.
Yes, no, you didn't. You just took the chance and answered.
And if you were on a party line,
yes.
I can remember that being a nightmare.
Now, I've never experienced a party line, but I worked at the phone company years ago at GTE. And they still had a lot of party lines like up in some of the rural Michigan area. And we would give people, you know, their information on a lot of cottages and things, mm-hmm. I think, had the party lines. And I thought, wow, that's still a real thing. It's not just in the movies.
Well, into the 60s,
yeah.
when I was growing up, into the 70s, we still had a party line.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a lady that moved, built a new house down the road from us, and they had an antique business. And she was on that party line constantly
oh.
with that. I got rude with her a couple times, but sometimes fun to just listen.
Yes, yes. Well, I can remember watching movies and they would be fighting, you know, I need to make a call. And there, you'd have the busybody on the other end listening in. Or
Sarah?
I just couldn't imagine it. For us growing up, we didn't have a party line, but you always had your younger sisters who thought it was fun to listen in on the other extension. Mm-hmm. So that was similar in some ways.
Well, you had an extension in your house.
Well, we did. Later on in our teen years, not early
okay.
on. We got a little fancier as we got older, but I think Dad just wanted us upstairs and out of the way. He was tired of walking around the phone cord in the kitchen. We were on so much. The joys of having three daughters, I guess.
Yeah. Yep. That old phone was probably tied up. And
yes.
You had a real hotline.
Yes. Then when caller ID and call waiting came on, boy, were we.
Well, there are several events, some events coming up
yes.
here in the future besides the volunteer orientation and Night at Heritage Hall.
Yes.
We're going to talk about some of those, I believe.
Yes, we will. We do have one of our biggest events that's got a lot of attention is our dinner with the presidents. Now,
I'm somewhat familiar with that.
Are you? Good, good. You might have an insight there.
Yeah.
Mike's kind enough to portray one of our presidents for us. And last year you did the honor guard.
I did the
yes.
honor guard.
Yes.
And I didn't realize it, but my hat was on crooked. I heard about that later.
Oh, I didn't even notice.
Yeah.
So you were okay. If the director doesn't notice, then,
okay. Well, you
then
didn't
you're
know
okay.
That then, yeah.
yeah. Then
that
you
was
did
an
okay.
Experience.
But it's so much fun. We have, right now, we're getting our lineup of presidents together. Fred Malone has been kind enough to take that on, and he's getting everybody together and finding out who we're going to have as our presidents this season. And then we'll kind of kick off the presidential side of things in May. On the 30th, we'll have our first presidential luncheon, which is an afternoon event where we'll have about 5 to 6 presidents, and we'll prepare, of course, the food menu based off of the time that they were in the White House,
right.
and have a luncheon at Tri Rivers that day at 11:30 for the luncheon on May 30th. And then we'll go into August. We'll do our First Ladies Luncheon, which we're pretty excited about. That's on a Saturday, August 10th, and that'll start at 11 a.m. And we do the same thing. We have about 5 to 6 First Ladies who join us, and we'll plan a menu around the time that they would have been White House hostesses themselves, and we'll have listened to their stories of time that they spent in office. And then the big event, which is the presidential dinner, will be November 2nd, and that starts at 5 p.m. and is at Day Spring Wesleyan Church again this year, which they have a wonderful space.
That worked out well last
that
year.
Did. It was just wonderful. We had a lot more space than I was prepared for, so we're excited because we'll be able to sell more tickets this year. So that's a wonderful thing. And we'll start selling our tickets once the presidential lineup's done. So right now we've kind of got a waiting list until we get our presidents nailed down, so to speak. So then we can offer, you have the opportunity to sit at a president's table with the president and their first lady in most cases, and then the opportunity to be in general seating, which is intermixed in between the presidents. And so the whole night is just very entertaining. We plan the menu about around the time that they were in office, and you just get to hear from the presidents and hear a little bit about their time in office, kind of what policy was like prior to their time in office, and just kind of little anecdotes and things about them as people. So it's just a lot of fun and good food. No one leaves hungry.
Oh, yes, delicious. Well, another interesting aspect of that event, I think, is when the presidents from two different eras speak to each other.
Yes.
That can be quite fun.
Yes,
as well.
It is. Or if you have a couple that maybe didn't get along and...
Yes.
And then they kind of bicker back and forth and have a little banter. And so that's very interesting. And we're fortunate. We have about, I think the last count, about 30 people that can portray presidents.
Oh, that's good.
So, and some of those are portraying, yeah. Some of them portray multiple characters, so it's fantastic, and it just gives us the opportunity that we can have a variety of different folks. We've tried having everyone, from having everyone there to limiting who comes for, you know, from the presidential side. We think we found what works, and that's having usually about 5 to 6 presidents that are going to speak that night, mm-hmm. and then filling in with about 5 to 6 more, so you have them there as just guests and seated at tables with folks. So it just works when you to give us the opportunity to change up who we have and have unique menus each time. So it's a lot of fun. That's kind of our ending event for the season, is our November 2nd dinner with the presidents. That's kind of our last big hurrah for the year, because then we start getting into the holiday season and everybody's rushing to take care of their families and get ready for Christmas, Thanksgiving, and
so when do you think you'll start selling tickets for that?
Fred said he's going to have our lineup done by the end of this month, so okay. Here probably within the next week or so we'll get everything finalized, and then we'll have the tickets ready to go. So
a little secret, I had chosen William Henry Harrison.
Yes.
Well, for maybe 3 years?
Yes.
Don't remember exactly, but anyhow, do you know why I chose him?
No. No.
He was in office less than 30 days, so I figured there wasn't so much to learn.
That's
but
fantastic.
But I was confronted by Andrew Jackson.
Oh.
And that was an interesting little confrontation there.
Yes, that's very...
So you see, there's a lot of interesting conversation and
yes.
activity at these presidential dinners.
There is.
As well as good food.
Yes, yes. The food is fantastic. It's always fun to see and plan the menus, because sometimes you have these presidents that just had the best menu choices and things. They were really, nowadays you'd call them foodies. They really liked food. They knew what they liked. Then you have others, they could have given a hoot about it, and so then you're trying to come up with different ideas and figure out what they like, and so it's a lot of fun. And then some of the recipes are older that maybe, you know, you're like, would somebody want to eat that nowadays? So we try to keep things a little more what people would enjoy.
So you stayed away from Andrew Jackson's fried possum, I presume.
Yes, okay. Yes, none of that. I'm not really going to put the caterer through that. but yes, so there's some things that it's like, wow, we've been eating ham for years. You know, you think about ham and that it's, you know, one of your holiday staples, but yet it was just kind of a thing that's been around for years. Or you have a president that served hot dogs to folks when they came in from overseas for a visit of the United States. And that
and we
was,
have had
you
presidents
know, so,
that have served McDonald's.
Yeah, so, you know. So I mean, you know, it's just whatever, I guess, floats your boat.
Yeah. Yeah,
so,
variety.
Yes. Now, I usually don't serve hot dogs at these events, so we try to keep it a little more classy, I guess. But it's always a lot of fun, and just it's always exciting for me that maybe we haven't even gotten halfway through. We've just introduced the presidents, and people are sitting down and kind of mingling and things. And they'll come up, how do we get tickets for next year? And I'm like, we haven't even finished, and you're already having a good time.
And this has really grown from being a local event to having busloads of people come in to see
Yes, we do. We get a lot of bus groups. Last year, we had a group that came to one of the luncheons that was from Missouri. And what was fun is we had President Truman, who was a Missouri boy.
Yes.
And so he got, as soon as they walked in and saw him in character, they were like, oh my goodness. And then we had Dwight Eisenhower, and they were like, you were the first president we voted for. So it was just a lot of fun to see their reaction and have, you know, people that they recognize. And then you have some of the older presidents that maybe you don't know as much about, and it's always great to learn about their policies and how they came to be. And many of them started as children that really weren't from wealthy backgrounds, that maybe couldn't read and had to learn that later in life. And then here they were leading the country. So, I mean, as a young nation, we really have survived a lot.
Yes, we have.
So it's a lot of fun. But we're mostly looking forward to just getting the exhibit going and just really celebrating. Like I said, it's our 50th anniversary, just really showcasing what Heritage Hall is about, what the Marion County Historical Society has done. And just, I look at my predecessors, you know, I'm the fourth director that they've had.
In 50 years.
So I look at the things they've done. I see old notes and memos from them and their line of thinking. And we've all been very like-minded on just really preserving our history and showing what we're about, because we have so much to really just kind of brag about on ourselves and the things that we've done. And I look at the people who founded Marion County Historical Society in 1969, and had they not thought about that then, where would we be now?
Certainly.
So, I mean, it all came out of Charlton Myers teaching an adult education class and sharing his stories that he used to do on the radio about just different Marion history and facts and folklore, and just the sharing of those stories led his students to say, you really ought to do something with that. And here we are today. And those are still the stories we get to share when we have visitors come in. And we get so many people from out of state and outside of the community that come in. We get folks from our own backyard who come in. And it's just wonderful to share the things we have. And you can walk through at any given time and just see part of your past or things that you remember your parents or grandparents talking about. And, you know, whether it's a photograph of a building that no longer exists or just a place that you remember hanging out as a kid. So it's sometimes I can't believe it's my job. I'm kind of like, you know, what did you want to be when you grew up? And I think I'm finally doing it.
You were a wonderful candidate for that position.
Thank you, Mike.
You're welcome. There's another event coming up that I know you have a planning meeting for this
week. Yes. This one coming up is our Time Travelers Fair, and that's going to be April 27th, and it'll be at Tri Rivers. It starts from noon to 5. That's a Saturday, and it's just kind of a unique event in that it lets you look at history from the past, the present, and the future. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot going on. We have a lot of great exhibits set up that are showcasing the hobby club and the things they've done. We have a vaudeville show that takes place during the event. It's kind of likened to a three-ring circus, but more spread out, I guess, because you get to go throughout. Last year, I was able to participate and help host the Victorian Tea, which we're doing again this year, and that's a lot of fun. You get to be seated and just have an old-fashioned tea. And then we have, of course, kids' games. We'll have pony rides for the kids. When you come in with admission, there's a free pony ride. And then And then we have also
pony rides.
Pony rides, yes.
You think you have a pony that could accommodate me?
I don't know if they'll bring one this year. That'd be kind of fun. I'm not going to lie.
Or maybe we should have the pony take a mic ride.
There you go. I think they're actually the smaller miniature ponies, so they limit them to the kids. I would really think that'd be a lot of fun for us too, but you know, well, there's rules.
Yes, there are.
But we do have people that come in costume from different eras, and we have some of our reenactors there walking around and kind of talking with everyone. And we do have Queen Victoria that comes, and she does a knighting ceremony, which is quite popular because you can be knighted. Anything you would like to be, she will knight you during the ceremony. So last year it was kind of fun. Some of the kids would get in line all excited, and then I think they got scared because they would hear that, hear ye, and it was a little bit formal for them. But some of them got knighted as various characters. One little boy got knighted as Superman, and... It's just a lot of fun. So it's good for all ages. We're excited. I think we're going to really have a good time this year. We changed the hours from being later in the evening to more of an afternoon event. And last year I was pretty excited. We had some folks I was talking to, and they had brought their mom, kind of a mother-daughter's day, and they were out and about and had heard about it on the radio and stopped in, and they were like, this is so much fun. We didn't know we had this going on, and we had not been before. And I'm like, oh yeah, there's just so much for everyone. And I think one of the big hits last year was our medicine show. We have a lady who does an old-fashioned medicine show and tries to sell tonics. So that's always interesting and fun. She's quite a character. So it's just a good time and really a chance to kind of look over some different inventions from years past and talk with folks and mingle with different characters from the past.
Yeah, and another thing, I don't think you mentioned this, but you encourage people to dress in different eras.
Yes.
Past,
present, or future.
Or future.
Kind of the steampunk, I guess, is the future look. Or
yeah.
There's a lot of Doctor Who and things
yes.
like that. So we do have some people in costume. And then again, the kids' games. So there's entertainment for the kids during that time. We had a few kids join us for the tea, and they thought that was pretty fancy that they got to sit and be seated. And we had a butler and all in official costumes of Victorian tea, and it was very interesting. And then the Queen actually came with our second seating and sat with us and was able to mingle with some of the guests. So it is a lot of fun. We enjoy it. It's an afternoon of learning about some of the hobby clubs' activities and seeing some of their things showcased. And I saw a lot of things that made me want to, I was like, oh, if I could be in 10 places at once, I could really.
You'd like to participate.
I know, yeah, I know. Yeah. I'm like, okay, we've got to have a chance to go out and explore. So it's a lot of fun. But again, we're just really excited. Hard to believe we're into our next season already. Everything happens so quick. It's kind of cliche where they say time goes fast, but it sure does. So we're back into planning stage and just getting everything back into the new exhibits for the season, and then just all of our events planned. And if anybody has any questions about anything we've discussed or would like to learn more about us and what we're doing or get more information, they can always call Heritage Hall. We're there from the office is open from 9 to 4 Monday through Friday. And if they call us at 740-387-4255, myself or my administrative assistant, Bobby, will answer any questions they have and try to get them information on the upcoming events.
And your website is
marianhistory.com.
Yes.
And we have things posted out there as well about becoming a member. Our calendar's being updated so that it shows all the latest events and dates. So we're definitely very excited. It's just been kind of hit the ground running as soon as January hit. We started taking things apart and getting things ready for this season. So we're excited. And by the time March hits and we can get people to come in, we're just excited to share what we've done.
And we've got about a minute left. I would like to remind people that you do get two for the price of one museums with a popcorn museum.
Yes, you do. You do. We have the Wyandotte Popcorn Museum is housed at Heritage Hall as well. And it's quite a unique collection of popcorn machinery and memorabilia. And I believe the largest collection in the United States. It's one of the only collections. So there's another one up north of here, but their collection is not as large. So,
well, Brandy, I'd like to thank you for being our guest today.
Yes.
You brought a lot of a lot of interesting information concerning Marion's history and how to learn about it. Again, why don't you give that phone number and that website again.
Okay. Yes. Our phone number is 740-387-4255.
You're listening.
And our
to
website
WWGH
is www.marionhistory.com.
Marion, Ohio, 107.1 FM, The Talking Place. From legendary talk show host, actor, broadcaster, and comedian Charles Grodin.
You know what? You know what? What I'm impressed by. You think I would know this? How you have all this audio?
Oh, you're impressed by this?
Well, what do you do? Just